Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Phil Tiger. Slacker Podcast.
Hello, Slacker friends. Welcome to episode 2 of this award-winning new panel show called the Slacker Friends Podcast. It was called in Panel Show Magazine, a triumph of the human spirit. Elon Musk tweeted about it last week saying, "I wish I had come up with this rad idea." That's the podcast that you're dealing with here, people. If you're watching this on YouTube, then please drop the channel, subscribe, turn the bell on, do all the usual things. And if you're listening on your podcast app, please leave us a review and share the podcast. It's the little free things that you can do that help this machine keep on rolling. Speaking of which, thank you to the Slacker Patreon community over at patreon.com/slackerpodcast. Podcast. We offer exclusive podcasts over there, music playlists, free tickets to live events when that can start happening in 2029. It's like a little family over there discussing music and all sorts of stuff. So for the price of a cup of tea or coffee, you can take the pressure off the Slacker CEO and chimney sweep here, and you can give to what needs given. Patreon.com/slackerpodcast. You guys are legends. Right, Slacker friends, our first guest today.
We are Arsenal.
We're reborn.
We love Arsenal.
We are Arsenal. Yes.
We are Arsenal.
No mercy.
No mercy.
We're Arsenal.
Host of Friday nights on BBC One Extra. He is the one-man carnival. He's defo never beaten me on FIFA 20. It is Jeremiah Asamoah. Hello, how you doing?
What's good, bro? I love the intro. Thank you for choosing Arsenal. However, right now, probably not the greatest time to be an Arsenal fan, but, you know, we live with David Luiz in defence, so, yeah.
You genuinely have Sideshow Bob. Like making sure that like people don't score goals against you guys.
Mate, I feel like David Luiz is a double agent. Definitely still supports Chelsea and still plays for them because last week and the week before, flipping dreadful.
See, Jeremiah is big into his football, but like it's his musical brain that we borrow off him tonight. And right. Our second guest, I had so much appropriate music to play, and then I heard this last minute, and I was like, ah, do you know what? I'm just going to play this anyway.
What? You've done me up, eh?
I totally forgot about the Titanic flute song, and I was just like, Mike Juice, label boss of Headache Inc., making music under the name Headache, former Lord of Atlanta singer and all-around dreamboat, Mike Juice. And the crowd goes wild. Sorry, Mike.
How's it going, man?
I had to do it on somebody, and it just happened to be you.
Oh well, I'll take one for the team for the comedy value.
What's the crack? How you doing?
Really good. I'm actually a bit worried because I'm waiting on a piece of studio gear to arrive, and it would just be my luck that the fella would ring the doorbell while I'm doing this. So. Everyone, fingers crossed.
Everybody's got very into like home deliveries now. Nobody actually goes out and gets anything anymore. I mean, you couldn't for such a long time that people have forgotten like how to actually shop now, I think.
I am old school, not leaving the house and having zero social interaction. So I've been preparing for this for about 16 years, man. We're good.
I've been getting back into like meeting people and socially distancing and stuff like that this week. It's been a bit weird. What about you, Jeremiah?
Yeah, you know, I can't because I look after my grandma sometimes. So I have to be extra cautious. However, I did go to the studio yesterday for like the first time and there was like five people there. But I feel like things are starting to get a little bit easier from now. Of course, July 4th around the corner. And apparently barbers are meant to open and more pubs and whatnot. So I guess things are starting to ease a little bit. But yeah, it's all right. It feels weird though, isn't it?
So. Look, the pubs won't bother you too much because you don't drink, do you? But like the barbers definitely will, because like I've never seen your hair this long in my life. Bro, anybody who's watching on YouTube will see.
Join the club, mate.
I am that person who stands in the corner looking lost right now. That is me. Because this is unacceptable.
I had a little bash. Me and Nina did the dog clippers. We got them out and I just went for it and shaved my head. And I thought I was liberating myself, but actually really this is now my hair grows out as well, like just straight out. There's nothing I can do. This is I've had the Weller wet look out and everything trying to stick it down for this.
Oh bro, so you're lucky my hair doesn't grow.
You two are making me jealous. I have like really sort of fine thin hair and you guys have these like big sort of bushes growing out of the sides of your head.
Brillo pad.
Yeah, no chance of you boys going bald. Right, let's start with our first question.
Yeah.
Probably one of the worst things to ever happen to hip hop, Vanilla Ice.
What?
Ice Baby. You'll have your minutes to retort to that. Vanilla Ice is set to play to 2,500 people in Texas to celebrate the 4th of July this weekend in the middle of a pandemic in a state that's numbers have not gone down. And the question I have, what is the stupidest thing you've seen or heard a musician or artist ever do?
Who's that to?
Take it off, Mike.
Go on. I've just, I don't even know if I can say this. The first thing that's popped into my head is Gigi Allen's stage poo.
Oh my God. Yeah, I know. I've heard about that.
Yeah, he pooed on stage amongst other horrific things. But yeah, he was already naked and pooed on stage. If I lowered the tone too early, that's all I'm worried about.
No, it's fine. Like, I mean, it is fact that Gigi Allen's like a sort of shock rock punk singer. Who is a horrendous human being by all accounts.
Definitely, 1,000,000%.
And he decided that when he was playing live, like he would normally punch himself in the face and he would say all matter of things that are just horrendous, but I remember like one of my friends like telling me that like he did a poo on stage in front of everybody while people were moshing and trying to like shoulder barge into him.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know too. I think he did it on multiple occasions, to be fair. And yeah, it's the shock factor thing. But I mean,
did he clean it?
I don't highly doubt this man.
I don't think he pooed and then you know, cleaned it up with toilet paper. I think it was just, a disgusting mess, I can imagine.
I mean, Gigi, it's going to be really tough to beat that one, Jeremiah. We started at the bottom and all we have to do is climb our way back up. Jeremiah, what's the stupidest thing you've seen or heard a musician or artist do? I mean, you're out like going to like shows all the time, so you must have seen some things.
This is it. So when I first started DJing, I was booked to play at this artist event. So like, loads of unsigned artists will come and one artist came without a DJ. So I was kindly enough to be like, all right, I'll DJ for you. And she was supposed to be the headliner, inverted commas.
Oh my God.
And basically her USB stick was corrupted. So like she spent like 15, 20 minutes, what I did, trying to fix it. And then she went on stage and she literally said to me, I don't know if I can swear, but she said, the DJ's fucking up my shit. And I was like, what? And then literally, she was like, oh, everyone booed at the DJ. And everyone started booing at me. And then, obviously, I just walked off.
Oh, my God.
Bro, that was got to be the most Yeah, ridiculous thing I've ever experienced in my life.
You're going to have to drop the name now, though, surely.
Never. I could never drop the name. But the craziest thing is, yeah, how Karma is such a bitch, because she turned around to me, like, when I got my One Extra show, she's like, hey, great to see you doing so well. Can I send you some new music? No!
Yeah, because like, I was just going to say, like, what stage was this? Was this a couple of years ago?
Oh, yeah, like 2017, 18.
Yeah, because you weren't the Jeremiah Asamoah like that you are now with your big bad boy One Extra show on a Friday night. Like, so now she's like coming back going,
I mean,
it's a testament to a very well said line of, you know, be careful to, what is it, be nice to everybody because you don't know who you'll meet on the way up and the way down.
For real.
That's still a terrible, terrible way to think, though, surely. Just don't be a dick for the, you know.
For the sake of don't being a dick?
Just don't be a dick.
No, but...
Yeah.
You know when people say that the good guys never make it?
Jeremiah. Jeremiah's plotting against that.
Hopefully. But, you know, it's crazy sometimes. But, I mean, good luck to her. Sorry.
This is a different minute though. Like this is the era of good guys finish first, maybe.
Hopefully.
Well, yeah, exactly. But I thought, well, Mike, well, you've played live music for such a long time. What's the dumbest thing you've ever done on stage?
Oh please, I'm not incriminating myself.
Well, you don't. I mean, like,
there's plenty of things.
You don't have to incriminate yourself. You can like bring us to the edge without like getting yourself cancelled or anything.
when I used to drink and like a lot, I used to pick random people out in the crowd. So anyone that had a drink, I'd be like, who's got a drink? People put their drinks in the air and I'd point to one person. I'd get the whole crowd to go down it, dance the person and have to down their drink. But it got to the point where whenever I went for a sip of a beer, like between songs, the whole crowd would just go, down it, every time I ever picked up a drink. So I was necking, and we used to drink them punk IPAs, and they're just so strong, man. And it's like down in a loaf of bread. It was just insane. I was down in like six or eight of them every show. It was awful. Big fat pregnant belly on me as well.
You must have.
Did
like,
you throw up?
Well, probably, yeah. Not on stage.
Yeah. But like you must have gone on stage sober and come off it wasted, right?
Yeah, or gone on, probably gone on
buzzed
a little worse wear and come off absolutely out of it. Yeah.
Well, Jeremiah, you don't drink, but you're in like, you know, you're in clubs all the time and you're around people who drink.
I say I don't drink. I've only stopped drinking recently, but when I first went to Ibiza and I was playing at Disturbing Malta. Obviously Tiny Timber has that song called Drinking from the Bottle. So I was like, I just turned 18 at the time. I was like, you know what, there's 3,000 people here. I've never seen so much people in my life at one venue. Let me just ask Tiny if I can go on stage and drink a whole bottle of Belvedere vodka. And it was one of those like large bottles.
What?
Honestly, it was the stupidest but greatest decision I've ever done in my life.
Did you do it? The whole bottle?
I've downed the whole bottle. And then like half an hour later, obviously, just gagging and throwing up everywhere. But it was worth the video.
Oh my.
It was crazy.
God. Anybody who's listening to this who thinks, wow, this sounds like a great idea. I'm going to down a bottle of vodka. Just don't bother.
You'll lose everything.
Just before we get to our next question, I need to comment on the backgrounds that you guys have on the Zoom recording that we're doing this on for the benefit of people watching this on the podcast. In a couple of days, this will be on YouTube. And it looks like Jeremiah is in the middle of Emmerdale Farm.
Yeah, sorry. I'm just enjoying the background.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You're such a...
It's so nice.
You're such a city boy. Like, city boys love the country and country people love the city. Just like...
This is it. I'd love to live in the country, man. Just no people and just bare sheep.
Nice. Mine's not actually a background. I'm sat in front of a window right now.
Well, I mean, unless you're doing the Zoom from the space station mirror, that's a very cosmic looking background that you've got there.
Yeah, I'm at the ISS.
Right, let's move on to this.
That was a million years ago.
Right, time for a blast from the past now. A story from music in history. In 1991, Axl Rose caused a riot during a Guns N' Roses gig after leaping into the crowd to remove a camera from a fan. Over 50 people were injured and 15 arrested. What is the stupidest thing you've seen or heard someone doing at a live show? Kind of similar to the last one, but this is more opening it up to the whole room rather than just artists and musicians. Jeremiah, you go first.
Slow Tie, amazing artist. Oh. But I saw this video like trending on. Mike is just laughing already. I don't know which one I'm going to say, but I think I'm going to open a more decent one. I saw a video of him spitting it in a girl's mouth. I saw it and I was like, what is going on? Like, I can't imagine getting to a stage in my career, right? And a fan loves me so much, so she's like, she opens her mouth and she tells me to spit in her mouth with pure phlegm. Like, come on, man, you can do better than that. But at the same time, she might have thought it was sexy. He might have thought it was sexy, and you never know.
I mean, you do, though. You do know.
yeah, I mean, like, it's just, even if it is, it challenges so many social norms that it's kind of hard to accept. I've never seen something that sick at a show before. I think it is a bit of an abuse of power. Do you know what I mean? Because he doesn't know really. That person might be caught up in the moment and not want that at all. You know,
he could have tuberculosis and not know about it. Maybe he's the new Gigi Allen.
Oh my God! Hopefully not. If that was to happen post-COVID, he would probably get the 20-year sentance.
Oh, mate.
Do you know what I mean?
Imagine doing that post-COVID-19.
I feel dirty. Even just the thought of it's making me feel sick.
I'm not afraid to fail. I'm not afraid to fall over, make a mistake. That oftentimes cripples people on the onset of getting into anything.
Idris Elba giving us motivational juice over some sad piano music. I mean, what else do you need? So the Southwest London rapper Shay Lingo has signed with Idris Elba's record label, Savin Wallace. Which actor has made the switch from film to TV that you would like to talk about? Now, note that I just said which actor has made the switch that has been good or which has been bad. I've just decided to leave it open because I always feel that if you go from acting to music, it's very rare that you're ever any good. But if you go from music to acting, it's a different scenario. I don't know. I want to see how you guys play it out. Mike, starting with you.
Again, the first thing that's popped into my head here is Ant and Dec. famous PJ and Duncan. But you know what? I love Ant and Dec. And they obviously started out on Biker Grove, then went and did, I'm not even quite sure what genre you would call it, the music. I guess they were trying to be like hip-hop, I suppose. crazy. But then, you know, then they returned to where they belong and they're one of the nation's favourites, aren't they?
I mean, yeah. That is a good answer because, like, I think unless you're over, like, I mean, Jeremiah, like, how old are you? Like, you're, like...
This is it. I'm 22.
So, yeah. So, like, you won't remember Ant and Dec as musicians. I say musicians.
Nah.
As like, musical performers. But I think it was probably around, like, the popularity of, like, Fresh Prince and Will Smith. And I think I think like the UK music industry wanted to make their own Will Smith, and they decided, hey, why have one when we can have two guys from Newcastle?
But like, funny you mentioned Will Smith, though.
Why?
Because that's what I chose. Because I couldn't figure it out.
Hold the phone on that one. But I mean, that's a really decent one as well. Actually going through Ant and Dec's back catalogue, right? Which is how many tracks? I mean, I want to go on Spotify now.
Yeah, have a look.
But let's get ready to rumble. Let's not beat around the bush here. It's a Stonewall banger.
Oh, it's not. I knew you were going to say that. Is it? Is it just nostalgic?
Hold on. Let me blast a little bit of it in. We might get the whole thing pulled because of this. Let's get ready to rumble. Yeah, I mean, that's a...
Wait, is that Andrew Depp?
Yeah, it's like that, this New Jack Swing kind of thing they tried to do.
Oh my days, I never knew that.
Do you know that? Do you know the song?
Yeah, I've heard the song plenty of times.
It's Friday as we record this, Jeremiah. I dare you. I dare you. I double dare you. I'll give you a tenner.
Hey, my radio.
If you play Deck, let's get ready to rumble on one extra at like 7:30 on a Friday night.
Next week. Deal.
I'm going through their catalogue. 2012, they dropped the Greatest Hits, which has 12 tracks on it.
Is it the one song 12 times?
Yeah, it's like the radio mix, the yeah. Japanese B-side mix, the slow down mix. No, they've got like tracks called Our Radio Rocks, Stepping Stone, Better Watch Out, Eternal Love, Stuck on You, Shout, Perfect, I'll Give You, if I Give You My Number. And there's one called You Crazy Cats with Crazy and Cats with a K. Will we play a bit of it to hear what it sounds like?
Yeah. You Crazy Cats.
Do you know what it sounds like? It sounds like the Happy Mondays.
It sounds good to me. Like that Wild Wild West tune that Will Smith did for the movie. It sounded a bit like that.
Let me see. Get ready. Get steady. I mean, I'd like to say I was going to go after this and listen to Ant and Deck all day, but like, this is not a fucking my mission that's happening. Jeremiah, like, we've got your answer already, but like, talk me through why you picked Will Smith.
I tell you why, because that's the only person I could think of that's actually went from being on TV/in movies to being a musician. Because you know, me was going through that phase of where like Fresh Prince of Bel-Air and like Summertime in that era. And I was like, oh, that's the best I could think of. But I guess Will Smith is one of those people, like, he's always been good at acting, but he was surprisingly good at music. But I feel like as he's grown older, like, he hasn't really stayed on top of the music. He just stayed to acting. But I guess he's one of those people that you just can't ignore. Like, even if he makes bad music, it's Will Smith, so you almost have to love it.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Like, but, like, Can he have a musical comeback? Like, can a man in his early 50s come back to hip hop and drop an album and it be taken seriously?
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Will Smith can, especially with what's going on right now with him and his missus. Surely you've seen that, right?
I've heard something. You tell that, you fill me in.
But from what I know is that Jada, who is his wife, has an open relationship with August Aslina, something like that, the American R&B singer.
I'm sticking the word allegedly in here just for legal reasons. But go
ahead. Please. Oh my days. Right. So that's what's been going around the internet. And then Jada says she's going to take herself to the red table So she might interview herself. But yeah, so like, if Will Smith came out,
what does that mean? Bring herself to the red table. What's that mean?
So she has that platform where she like interviews people about their life. So she's bringing herself.
So she's going to interview herself. Didn't Alan Partridge do that?
Probably. So wait, only God knows how that's going to go. But if Will Smith said tomorrow, I'm going to do an R&B album talking about his wife and his whole love life, I reckon it would be a number one. Just saying.
What, like, I mean, did you listen to like much Will Smith, Mike? Because like when I was at uni, we used to stick Will Smith on all the time, but it was kind of like a little bit ironically because some of the boys that I was friends with were into like old school hip hop. So they would stick on like Willennium and we'd listen to it like start to finish.
Big Willie style is, I had it on CD, man, and I wore it out as well. I'd always love Fresh Prince. I love Will Smith is like that guy at school who's like good looking, smart, like gets good grades, is on all of the teams, on the football team. Like he's just that guy and he's good at everything. So like, I don't know. You love to see him do well, but you also hate him because he's just got everything down. You know what I mean?
He really does. Yeah, and his kids are pretty cool as well. And yeah. He also like has written one of my favorite lines in hip hop, but like not really my favorite lines, but like he wrote the line, "Some people call me soft, more like Microsoft." Right, here we go. Next one. Feel free to sing along.
I see them wait, dozen angels contemplate my fate.
This is a cover from I think he's from Switzerland.
The place is where we go when Gregory and old.
My wife's gonna be like, well, what are you doing in that wee cabin of yours? You're just singing Robbie Williams at 10 to 12 on a Friday afternoon. Robbie Williams this week claims that he and his wife, Ada Field, were threatened with being beheaded while doing charity work in Haiti. I saw that as a news story during the week. And my very tenuous question to that is, which member of a boy band has gone on to great success and you're not allowed to say Justin Timberlake? Jeremiah?
Yeah, I struggled with this one as well, but I guess Swae Lee from Ration Road.
That's a shout.
I couldn't think of the other guy. No, it sounds so rude, but it's so weird because when you think of like records like Unforgettable, and he's done so many things that just solo projects that you just don't think of the other member of Ray Sherman. And I feel like the other member was more like rappy, but sometimes vocals in terms of singing, and especially in terms of the hip hop and rap scene, just go a lot further when you can do both as well. So yeah, he smashed it.
It's impossible for there to be a boy band or a girl group, like a pop group really, and there not be dominant members in it. Like even if I think now, right, of Destiny's Child, I can think of Beyonce and Kelly, and I can't think of the third.
Michelle.
Really?
Michelle.
Can't think of Michelle.
Yeah, but it did, like, like now that you say it, like, I'm right, okay, Michelle, but like,
yeah.
Do you know what I mean? There's the dominant ones in pop groups, and then there's just those pop groups that fade away, like pretty much all of the late 90s ones. There goes my hero. Who is the hero of the week for you guys? Jeremiah, starting with you, who's your hero of the week?
Simple, Stormzy, man. Like, that man, that individual, like, he's done so much for me just as a young black person. And he's just done so much for like, the like young black people, like entrepreneurs recently. He said he's going to like donate or invest £10 million over the next 10 years into like young black people's lives. Like, doing stuff like that is one inspiration. And like the sort of things that he's just been able to amount to in the last like 4 or 5 years. I remember like just seeing him at Represent Radio when like he first started, and he dropped one song called Not That Deep. And he was very humble, but like since then, like, you know, so many number ones and like headlining Glastonbury with a flipping Banksy bulletproof vest on. Yet when you still meet the person, he's as humble as when he first started. And for me, that's just like, come on. So
is it like, as someone someone your age, is it important to have somebody like Stormzy in the mainstream representing your voice?
100%, because for a lot of young people like me, like, I don't really listen to drill music, but obviously it's like, it's popular, it's in fashion with like young black culture. But sometimes drill music doesn't connect with me because a lot of the time it's talking about like violent stuff. And I'm always been a person, I'm just a sweet boy at heart. And Stormzy manages to find a way of like being gangster, being sweet, but also being very faithful and godly. And for me, it's like, well, it's a bit of everyone's pie. So like, it's definitely important to have someone like Stormzy, you know, can just impact everybody, no matter what color or what race you are.
I think you see that a lot with any artist that comes up from a working class background, that they're more likely to give stuff back when they get to the top, because they kind of remember what it was like to have very little.
I don't know about that, you know, because I feel like a lot of the rappers that we have today, like, everyone is financially, that everyone that does well, surely that, like, you're financially stable, and like, some of them haven't been vocal enough to give back. Like SL, he's a rapper from South London. He's never had a UK number one, but he's pledged $100,000 to support young people. And he's like, you got all these other bigger rappers who are in the UK who definitely have more money than SL, I assume, because, you know, they've got more hits than him, yet they haven't mentioned to give back at all. And of course, they're not obliged to give back, but, you know, morally, it's always good to feed back into the environment that made you who you are today.
There's other ways.
Makes you look good as well, doesn't it?
At the same time, it does. 100%.
I'm cynical, man. I always feel like it's like 50-50, you know what I mean? Like when you have, like, I'm not naming names, but like famous pop singers going to like see terminally ill children to get the photo of them, their thumbs up, but look what a nice person I am. I always wonder.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
My mom always taught me that, Jerry, like, if you ever do something like give a homeless person clothes, never post it online, because like, that's not your blessing. Your blessing is just doing it from your heart.
Yeah.
So I get that aspect as well. So it's a tricky one, because you never know. They could be doing it behind closed doors.
Yeah, like all that George Michael stuff that only came out after he died. Like, he was donating left, right and centre and paying for stuff. I feel like he did it like in a really good way.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. He didn't like make a master song and a dancing about it. He did it for the right reasons. But like, that Stormzy is the set. Like, this is episode two, and he's been two people out of the four people that we've had on's Hero of the Week. So Stormzy's obviously doing something right. He is. There goes my hero. Mike, who's your hero?
For some reason, I didn't pick anyone, but I'm gonna
I'm my own hero.
I'm gonna go for Rashford, man. Marcus Rashford.
Yeah.
Big time. Isn't it a shame when like Premier League footballers have to like fund the government always, you know what I mean? It's a weird time.
I mean, yeah. like footballers get paid more than even the most successful musicians do, and
true,
having like somebody like Marcus Rashford, but he backs up the point I was making earlier on about somebody coming from very little and giving back to the community that he was in, because he knows that like kids need to eat. I mean, this is such a basic human right that it's amazing that he even has to tweet about it or approach government about feeding children in the morning. I mean, what government will, like, you know, not do that in the first place? We're like, we shouldn't be in a place as a culture or a society that this conversation even has to happen. But for Marcus Rashford to go and do it, and for a footballer to make a difference like that, you don't see it half enough, do you, really?
We've made people aware as well. I feel like, you know, there's loads of like middle class people that would never have, like, that wouldn't have even popped into their heads because they're not in that situation. They wouldn't have even known it was a thing. But I feel like now, because he's done that, like, you know, people are aware.
Mm.
Do you? I might be playing dumb here, but do you honestly feel like people who are middle class genuinely don't know that's going on?
I have like, conversations with. I've got loads of friends, man, who like, when I talk about stuff like, you know, they're not even, it's stuff that doesn't even, there's been loads of stuff like with this BLM stuff, man. There's been loads of stuff where I've seen my friends posting things out and I've been like, you didn't know that. Like, that's crazy that you're finding that out now. So I suppose that like things like that, bringing, you know, stuff to the attention, you would be amazed at the stuff people don't know.
Mad.
I think anyway.
Yeah.
Big time.
That's good to hear.
So Marcus Rashford, Stormzy, our heroes of the week, and it brings us on to Oh my god.
You're a piece of garbage. A real shitty piece of garbage.
Our villain of the week. Who are we going to get for this? Jeremiah?
Oh, why me first?
It.
You know what? Yeah, right? It might just still in there. I don't have one. However, if I was actually thinking of someone that might have had some scrutiny this week or the last month, then there's two people. One is Virgil Abloh. I think he's a great designer. I wear stuff all the time. But you saw he was designing the Pop Smoke album cover and he got so much backlash from everybody because it basically looked like an artwork someone done on like Paint or like WordPad or something like that. But, you know, most important thing, Pop Smoke's music was great. This is me trying to be diplomatic, but also grill Virgil. But you know.
Yeah, but like, I mean, there's two sides to it. Like, you like this fella has like passed away, and anything to do with his art should be really kindly considered, considering that it probably will be the last release of new music or original music that'll ever happen. Like, I mean, like a good example of getting that right was Mac Miller and releasing the stuff that Mac Miller had last year. But then, in sort of not to defend Virgil, but like just to sort of play devil's advocate, really, is there's certain, I mean, Michael Talley's like, he's well into design, much more so than me, but that's an aesthetic as well. Like, I mean, maybe that's the aesthetic that he was going for. Do you know, maybe it's not like he just turned up and was like, right, 15 minutes on Paint and there we go.
Yeah.
I always wonder with stuff like that, man, like after the artist has died, like, because I always think myself, if it was me, like, art, well, it would just torment me dying and not having like some tunes out, you know, that I want to get out, but then also I'd want to be there for like the way, you know, for the artwork and the way like music was released and stuff. I always wonder like how I would feel about it, or how they come up with, you know, do they say before they die, you know, or is it just a label trying to cash in on a death? Like, I never really know what the situation is with that stuff. What do you reckon?
I think, like, as you said, I think the thing is like it would be hateful for you specifically if there was music sitting in the vault and that couldn't come out. I mean, like, I think Prince has albums and albums and albums of stuff that's come out. It can be very, like, it can get very murky and messy in considerations of people's estate. So it's really whoever is in control of the music is key to what happens next. But like, if somebody passed away and you would obviously get their people together to go, how would they have liked this? And you kind of would have tried to play it out as if, but with close friends and close family, how they would have liked it.
I'd be haunting people, man.
Oh, great. Dan, do you believe in ghosts?
Ghosts?
You believe in them because you said you were haunting people.
Yeah, no, I don't really know. It was more of a joke.
Fair enough.
Do you, Jeremiah?
Nah, no way. Me believing ghosts, I'd be shitting myself every day.
So use the ghost as a toilet paper.
Our villain of the week, Virgil, and moving on to Mike, who is...
You're a piece of garbage. A real shitty piece of garbage.
Way to lower my self-esteem, man. There's not much of it there. Mine's a lazy one, I think, but I just hate him so much. It's Donald Trump. Just... is my hope, my most hated person, I mean, on the planet, I think. He just epitomizes everything that is wrong in the world. He's my villain of a lifetime, I think.
Is there anything like particular that he's done recently, or is it just the fact that he's just never ending?
Like, I need to vocalize that, and anytime I'm on anything, if we'd have to have a whole separate podcast as to stuff that guy's done that I dislike. But yeah, is that me that's pinging as well?
That's probably Donald Trump's lawyers. They're probably like, going, we know where you live. We're going to get you.
It's my manager. You're banned from touring America.
Okay. I mean, that's a pretty simple one. I mean, like, there's not even any point talking about Donald Trump's many foibles, because that's not even a podcast. That's a whole series. <That's> series 5 to series 10 of how much a douchebag Donald Trump is. Okay, right. Moving us on to...
You were in the parking lot earlier. That's how I know you.
We're looking to find out those weird and crazy moments that you bump into either idols of yours, people that you're familiar with in music or movies. I just love hearing stories. And my friend Ryan sent me this in about a time he met a quite big female singer in Belfast.
So years ago, I used to work for a club in Belfast, and the size of the place kind of made bumping into famous musicians pretty easy. So you just sort of had to ignore them and get on with whatever it was you were doing. So I remember once being upstairs above the club stage and needing to get back downstairs. So as I round this corner, I can see PJ Harvey in the elevator ahead of me. She noticed me and kindly reached over to use the hold door button. So I start picking up the pace a little, and by the time I've got within about 10 feet, she just lets them close in my face and gave me the finger. So huge respect for a power play like that. She'd never met me before in her life. And I've experienced a lot of weird stuff during my time there, and sometimes the lines blur. So PJ Harvey, if you're listening and this wasn't you, you need to let me know, because you've been getting the blame for this for the best part of 10 years.
There you go, PJ Harvey giving the middle finger to one of the staff at the Limelight. That was Ryan McCormick, legend in the game. I want to know about the sort of encounters that maybe you guys have had as well. By the way, if anybody listening to this wants to send in a voice note of their encounter, send it to slacker.ptag@gmail.com and I will play it if it's good and funny. Mike, you've bound to have bumped into so many people on the circuit.
Are you saying this for any particular reason?
I'm not, like, but I love how this is making you feel really uncomfortable.
I've only just lived it down. Like, it was like the first thing when you googled my name, it was the first thing that came up, a BBC article about why I'm so embarrassed to potentially meet Dave Grohl again.
No, what happened? I missed this.
It's such a crazy story, man. I'll try and condense it. So I was on tour in Australia, and it was a day off. We had like a couple of days off maybe, and we were in I think it's called Jimmy's Pizza. I don't know if anyone is Australian on here. Fact check me. But it's like a club. There's also a pizza joint, and it's in this basement in Sydney. And I was outside having a cigarette, and then a guy got out of a cab, and I was like, easy, Dave Grohl. And it was actually Dave Grohl. So he got out, and I was chatting to him for a good solid like 5 minutes, just telling him that I can't even imagine what I was saying. Just telling him I loved him, I assume. Telling him my favorite songs, and like he's the reason I was in the band, all this stuff. And he kept looking down, and I was like, what's he looking at? And I looked down, and I had hold of his arm with both of my hands, and I didn't even realize the whole 5 minutes I was talking to him. I was like holding on to him, and he went, dude, get off of me. And it was just awful. But anyway, it gets worse.
Right.
So that whole night, like he was there, like Chris Shiflett was there, Pat Smear, like the whole band were there. And my manager and the rest of my band, knowing I'm like a massive fan, kept going over to Dave, going, you've got to meet Mike, he's a massive fan, you've got to meet him. And every time I turned around, it seemed Dave Grohl was there with someone trying to, it looked like I'd gone round everyone and said, please get him to speak to me, please, please.
Oh my God.
Anyway, my manager at the time, same thing, you know, I turned around, Dave Grohl was there. And then Jamie was like, here he is now, here he is. And he goes, oh, I know you, you're the weirdo from outside.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
That's not fair.
I know. I think about it all the time.
That's not fair. That's your hero when he's called you a weirdo.
Man, I was a weirdo, trust me. Like,
but I mean, when you meet your hero, it's really hard for you to be yourself. Like, it's hard for you to sort of dust it down and just go, right, play it cool, here we go.
That's the only time I've been massively starstruck like that. I didn't know what to do. I just needed to talk to him.
How was it left? Like, I mean, because obviously you played it out in your head about like talking with him, and then he's like going, well, actually, we need another guitarist on stage tonight.
Mate,
could you come and join us?
For some reason. Yeah. Oh, yeah, cool, man. Yeah, I think I've heard of you. Maybe we should write an album.
Yeah, totally. I mean, I used to have that when I was a kid, like of going, oh yeah, I'd be in the crowd at Old Trafford, and then they'd be like, oh, we need a player, and then I'd be in my shirt, and they'd be like, let's get that 11-year-old boy and stick him on the pitch right now. Mike, I'm scarlet red for you.
I'm feeling it. I'm worried. Have you got like a filter or something you can put on?
I'll get some sort of like Instagram filter and I'll put it over your face.
Amazing.
Jeremiah, you're not going to beat that, are you? Like,
a heavy diet. When I first started the BBC, right, it was on the residency, so I had a show once a month. And it was my first ever show.
When you started at the BBC, I remember this, right? Because you had a show once a month, yet you were in 6 days a week. And you were like, you were in like 8 hours every day for 6 days a week. And I remember like turning to my producer, I was like, that kid's going to end up with a proper show on One Extra. Like, and you fucking did. So fair play. I'm very proud of you.
Finally did it. Trust me.
Very proud of you.
Thank you. But yeah, first residency show, right? I had Ray on, who's an amazing singer. She works with everyone. And then she had a song with Mr. Easy called Decline. And it was like doing promo for her. So I was like, cool. And so she came on the show, right? And then, like, I looked at her and I was like, whoa, she's beautiful, right? And being the rookie that I was, because it's like my first, by the way, BBC is my first ever job. So I've never had a job before until I came to BBC. So, like, we were on air and I was like, flirting with her as a joke on radio. And then she was like, and I was like, look, we're the same age, we're both Ghanaian, you know, like, maybe. And then she was like, yeah, like, we can go to the park for a picnic or something. And obviously, she said that as a joke, but me being young, I'm thinking, oh my days, I'm going to be in with Ray and I'm going to have like a famous girlfriend. And then I actually tried to slide in her DM and like tried to speak to her. And then I can't remember, but I think she said, my G. And then I was like, oh, flipping it.
Hold on.
Then Charlie Flo gets worse. Brought me on the 8th when he was at BBC. And he was like to Ray, he's like, oh, you know, we have someone in. He didn't tell me this. He's like, we have someone that's a new presenter. He's a great DJ. He's amazing. And he's a bit of a stalker of you. He has like pictures of you up on his wall. And I couldn't really like back out of this because I'm just behind her, innit? So I was like, for flip's sake.
That's, oh man. Charlie played you bad there. But see, bad. When you were in her DMs and she says, my G, is that friend? Is that like, that's friend zoned, right?
That's more than friends, and that's like blood brothers.
Oh my god! Like, I'll keep that.
That's like social distancing.
My G. It's good for me to know that now, because like I just in case I need a friend zone some people, maybe I'll go into my wife or later on. I'll be like, my G. wow, okay. I mean, they're both incredible stories. I'm really embarrassed for the lot of yous. Right, we've got one final bit, and it's kind of like what we should be doing is putting a little bit of sort of musical love back out into the world.
I fucking love this band. They are the best band ever, period.
Right, so I haven't interjected too much. I'm kind of just playing the host, but I want to make a suggestion this week. It's a South Korean producer, and it's her second EP, and she's called Park Hye-jin, and it's very wavy, and her first EP was all house music and quite gospel-y, and this one isn't at all, and it's wicked, and I'll put a link to it below on the podcast and on the YouTube as well. Mike, who would you tell us to go and listen to? Apart from yourself, you, of course, before we even get to this, who has an EP dropping next Friday?
I do, yeah. It's called Food for Thought. Shameless plug. Go and check it out if you like. It's kind of like lo-fi hip-hop, but I don't know, like a gimpy white guy version, maybe. I'm not sure. I don't know what it is. It's quite weird. It's just all my influences sort of regurgitated.
Happy day. So that's like a full EP from Headache coming out on Friday for you all to check out.
Anyway, you've embarrassed me now. I would like everyone to check out my mate Gio. It kind of makes I don't even know what kind of music you would you know what, I'm not even gonna, that I want the mystery to overcome you, and you just have to go and check it out. I'm gonna give you a link, I think, if that's all right.
Yeah,
because it's hard to find. When you type Geo in, because it's just three letters, like loads of famous people come up, like George, etc., on Spotify. So it's hard to find. So it's really, really good. Like insanely good.
Wicked Wildfire, fire me that link and I will let everybody else follow it after they're finished watching this. Jeremiah, you're like a harbinger of new music. Like you go out and you find it and you drop it, and I'm sure you've got about 100 you can give to us, but give us one.
Bit of a shameless plug, but my little brother is flipping amazing. Like, I kid you not.
Yeah.
He's been learning how to play like piano chords, and he's just been making really great music. He's been working with H's team as well recently.
Mm.
And I'm just like, bro, where do you learn how to make so much great music? So like, yeah, like I say, his producer name is 17X, and like, hey, pretty good, man. He does like house music. He does like, even does like soundscapes for movies as well. Like, he does the whole shebang, and he's actually very good at it. Like,
wow.
So yeah, I will like Mike Dunn put the link in it. So hopefully.
Have you played him on the radio yet?
Can't do that. Got to sign that long.
I was gonna say
conflict of interest form.
You have to go fill out that conflict of interest form.
Oh mate, 3-4 pages long just to say he's my brother. I'll leave it. I'll let you do that, Phil, for me.
Well, there you go. There's three recommendations for you guys to go and listen to and enjoy. And the final part of our podcast is showing a lot of love to the Patreons who help the podcast train keep rolling. Where we do a thing called the Portrait of a Patreon. I really need to like get a piece of music for this. I've got sound effects for everything else, but this is Portrait of a Patreon. And it is, I probably will pronounce the name wrong, as I do all the time. Jeremiah, you get this, right? Like when you're on radio and you pronounce names wrong. I do it probably weekly.
My name is hard enough.
Yeah.
Remembering your own name.
What do people call you, Mike?
Me? Oh, mate, you don't want to know.
Mike Ducky.
Oh, right, mate. Yeah, I get a million things. Yeah, just headache now, straight up.
Yeah. Okay. Just go straight for headache. Jeremiah, I stick the I in your name all over the place. It changes for every time I spell it. I've noticed this week.
Yeah. Asian Ma, Ashama, Asian Man, piss off.
Asayama.
Asayama.
Yeah.
But you know what?
Got it.
I'll deal with that one. It's all good. I'll be
honest
with
you. Our portrait of a patron is Jiren Shoop. And I've definitely got that wrong. Her all-time favorite record is David Bowie's Hunky Dory. Favorite band is the 1975.
Yes!
Big fan, Jeremiah?
Well, I love you when you're out, because I love the sound, all of the sound of your heart.
A lot of their songs sound like 1980s power ballads.
Hey,
like,
don't they? Slander.
I'm not slandering. I'm saying it's a good thing. I mean, a lot of them sound like Phil Collins and NXS and like all the sort of stuff that like.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, but I'm not saying it's a bad thing.
Oh.
Best release of the year is The Birthday Party by the 1975. Worst band is Imagine Dragons by just saying I'm not a fan. I just can't.
So you're telling me Radioactive is not a great song?
Radioactive. Do you know what? I'm kind of with them. I don't dislike them. I don't really like them. It's just about...
I don't even know any of their songs. I don't listen to the radio, so I'm...
You're going to tell me... Matt's going to tell me you don't like Bastille as well, aren't you?
Matt, like, right. I have nothing against, like, the dude or the music or anything like that. It's just not for me. But you know what? I would love... to see a cross-section of Bastille fans, just to see what kind of people they are. Because, normally you kind of know what, like, an artist's fans like.
Yeah.
What are Bastille fans? I'd love to see, like, just 20 of them.
I think Bastille fans, you could probably, like, I think they're one of those rare bands that, like, write down all your social demographics and pick one from each, and they'll probably have one from each of them. Do you know what I mean?
I imagine they'd be like painting Warhammer and drinking Monster Energy. Like, I might have got it completely wrong.
What's the burn?
Then you get me.
The burn is deep. The most cringe musical experience for our Portrait of a Patron, Jiren, is I forgot the lyrics to the second verse of a song I covered at my second open mic and got heckled in a coffee shop. The MC made me take a couple of minutes to regain composure and finish the song. I think of that every time I go into that coffee shop. I mean, that's putting yourself through torture, isn't it? Like, I think... I've been in that situation where I forgot lyrics, because I'm like, I've written some songs and I can play a couple of songs, and if I get drunk enough at a house party, I'll play it, but I forget the lyrics every single time, and I don't get embarrassed. I just laugh it off because I'm shy.
I've got a trick for it. That if you ever forget lyrics to your own song, you just back away from the mic, and I call it goldfishing. You just do, like, you know, your mouth like that, and then it looks like you're trying to get the crowd to sing along. Or what you can even do is, if they're close enough, you can pick someone out in the front row and go, oh yeah, like, they're mouthing the lyrics, and you can just pick them back up again and carry on.
Oh, that's a good technique, Jaron. There you go. If you want to be a portrait of a Patreon, then a portrait of a patron, all you have to do is go over to patreon.com/slackerpodcast and become a Patreon of the podcast for all the price of a cup of tea a month. Jeremiah, just before we finish, what do you do if you mess up DJing? Because, like, I mean, I've got various different techniques, because I have messed up numerous times. Although I've watched videos of you, DJ. You're a lot more skillful than I am.
Try to be. When you say mess up, elaborate, as in, like, clanging, so two songs sound out of sync.
You got two.
Or, like,
two
beat gone.
Like, any reason of, like, messing up. Like, I mean, you could, like, be pulled out of one of the sides of, like, the decks. You might have, like, accidentally hit the crossfader over and the music's gone. Like, how do you style it out? I get on the mic. If I, as soon as I fucked up, I get straight on the mic and I just start talking to the crowd like nothing's happened.
It's the radio in you, isn't it? It's the radio in you, literally. Yeah. Like, if my USB corrupts, I have to do two things. I have to blame it on the sound engineer. I'm like, oh, because everyone goes, oh. And I'm like, sound man, what's going on then? As he's talking, like, come on, and I'm talking my USB back in, yeah. I'm like, hold on, like, I reset the car. I'm like, right, the energy's not right in there. We need to take it up to another level. So, like, oh, however, saying that, my guiltiest thing I've ever done in Arabia is that I've accidentally stepped on the wire and the whole socket of the DJ decks went off.
Oh.
That was long, but anyway.
I'm gonna pull you out of one there and just say that that's the venue's fault for having the power socket somewhere that a DJ could stand on it.
Maybe even sue him.
Yeah, exactly. Let's get some sweet legal suing action. Money in there, Mike. What's the sort of vibe when you played in the band? Like, when somebody used to mess up, because when I played in a band, you'd come off after a show and I clearly would have fucked up. And everybody would be looking at me, and it really wasn't a nice experience.
I think we were pretty good at styling it out. I think that was a bit of our, like, steez was kind of like, you know, not really caring too much. But the worst time we ever messed up was at my friend Steve's wedding. Shout out Steve Sears. And everyone's quite musical in the friendship group. So he made bands out of, like, just pulled random five people. Like, hey, you're the drummer, you're the bass player. And my band was our own band for the wedding. We had to learn a bunch of songs, but we were on tour until the day before. So that day we sort of bashed through and we're like, yeah, we'll be fine. Got there to the wedding. All the other people have been rehearsing for like weeks. I mean, like weeks, and had it all down like a proper set. And I forgot the lyrics to "The Boys Are Back in Town," second verse. It was quite awful. I couldn't even style it out. Everyone was like, mate, isn't this your job? Like, what are you doing? I was like, it was pretty brutal, man. I'm not going to lie.
Flip, oh my God. At a wedding as well.
Yeah, I was stone cold sober, and it was just everyone was wasted and heckling me. It was like something out of a nightmare.
Oh God.
It was alright though.
Oh my God.
I played all that part.
Yeah, exactly. Just humming along. Guys, thank you so much for taking time out of your Friday to look back on the week in music and coming on and being my slacker friends. Thank you very much, guys.
Cheers for having us.